From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Well, how the hell are you guys? I mean, it's not Friday, which is going to be a little bit weird. I mean, is it Friday? I'm just wondering.
How about noon?
Of course it's not. Why? Because this is going to be one of those weird moments where we're actually going ahead and creating a show, but without an audience. And that's just a little bit strange. It's a little bit strange. But as I'm sitting here watching this show, you know what's great? Or watching this show. Are we watching this show, Carlos? I'm just wondering.
No.
Well, we are watching a show, kind of. I mean, we're sitting here with the Trading View window open. We're watching the troll box over here as the Bitcoin markets absolutely crash and fucking destroy themselves. And, of course, it's the end of the world. Everybody in the troll box is, like, collectively shouting.
What the fuck?
And the fucking world is coming to an end. But don't worry. While that's happening, you've got some wonderful commentary and some fantastic shows from yours truly, LB Faust. Hey, man, what can I say? I couldn't let a week go by where I was just going to go ahead and let things happen and just forget about Wednesday again when we usually drop our stuff. Are we going to drop this on Wednesday? Who knows? But if we don't, we know that everybody out there will, of course, they'll be very offended. So we've got to put something together. So in this weird episode of Joculation, what are we doing? We're going to go ahead and have a smaller episode simply because, well, you know, it's what the gods allowed to happen this week. You know what I'm saying? So it's the way that the gods allowed things to happen this week because things just didn't kind of come together the way that we had hoped that they would. You know what I'm saying there?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So now that we've got that out of the way, let's all go ahead and collectively say it together, okay? Come on.
Fuck you, fucking fucker.
All right, awesome. So let's go ahead and have this truncated show of Joculation over here on a strange night as the crypto markets are bleeding to death. But it's okay. There are suicidal people in the troll box, but we'll get on. Hey, you know, this is like the post-4th of July show. It feels a little bit weird because it's a little bit longer than a week after the 4th of July. But whatever, man. I was going to wonder and ask, so how did everybody's 4th of July go? And then I was kind of like got mugged by the news that apparently over inside of like Los Angeles, 17 people were injured after a, quote, planned detonation of seized illegal fireworks happened over in a big explosion. So check this shit out, right? Over in Los Angeles, 9 LAPD officers and 1 ATF officer were taken to nearby hospitals along with 6 civilians. A 10th LAPD officer was hurt but was not hospitalized, according to the LA Fire Department. The explosion occurred after the LAPD had seized over 5,000 pounds of illegal fireworks from a nearby home. I mean, oh my God.
I mean, what the fuck?
Don't let me say that again. After the LAPD seized over 5,000 fucking pounds of illegal fireworks from a nearby home. How in the fuck do you smuggle that in without somebody ratting you out? Well, apparently somebody did. Moore said 27-year-old Arturo Cejas, he acquired the fireworks out of state with plans to sell them to residents in the neighborhood for the 4th of July. And then, of course, the LAPD received a rat came out, tipped him off that there were illegal fireworks being stored in the home of the 700 block of 27th Street. When officers arrived, they found approximately 5,000 pounds of, quote, commercial-grade fireworks. Officers also found what Moore described as, quote, improvised explosive devices. Let me just stop there for a second. How many of us have created our own fucking improvised devices, explosive devices with fireworks? I mean, isn't it obvious that, like, everybody and their mother has created an improvised explosive device with illegal fireworks at some point in their teenage years? I'm just saying, man, this is nothing new. But we'll carry on here. But they were loaded into the containment vehicle for detonation. Now, let me just paint the picture for you here. They brought over a bomb disposal unit to get rid of fireworks. Dude, you want to get rid of those fireworks? It's real easy. Just go ahead and call up the teenagers in the neighborhood. Maybe go ahead and donate them to Disney. I don't know. Do some shit like that, right? And boom, fireworks are gone. But no, we had to bring out the fucking, you know, big bomb squad truck because we have to justify the expense somehow. You know what I'm saying there? So at any rate, they bring out the big-ass bomb disposal truck that's a containment vessel for detonation, and they put 10 pounds of the illegal fireworks. They're placed inside a specialized armor truck designed for controlled detonations. Well, how did things turn out? Did they work out okay? I'm just kind
of... How about new?
Of course not, because law enforcement sources said the top of the armored container device, which can weigh as much as a ton, was blasted two blocks to the east and smashed part of a roof out before landing in the dirt behind the hole.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, 10 pounds of fucking fireworks. Somebody brought 10 pounds of firecrackers, put them inside this bomb disposal unit, which is supposed to save us from IEDs and fucking terrorist devices and shit like that. But with 10 pounds of, like, fucking ladyfingers, they blew the fucking shit off the top of this armored truck and blasted it two blocks into the east and smashed out part of a roof of somebody's fucking house. I'm just saying. And of course, they're coming out all pissed off like, bro, hey.
How dare you?
You went ahead and fucking flattened my house, you assholes. But more importantly, can we go ahead and say that maybe there was a small flaw in the fucking armored device? I'm just saying, right? I remember as a kid when I used to take some M80s from the illegal fireworks I'd grab on the summer road trip, and I'd like blow up some models with them for shits and giggles over summer vacation when I got back from home. You know, making fucking improvised explosive devices to blow up my models. I'm just fucking saying, man. Right? But think about this. Who knew all you'd need to blow through reinforced steel walls of a bomb containment device or a paddy wagon was about 10 pounds of snap-its from my, like, 4-year-old son's stash of, like, government-certified, quote, kids-safe fireworks and a few sparklers. I mean, with that, we could just blow that shit off and, like, fucking... Who knew, man? I could have done that. If you just add, like, a little Play-Doh and maybe some Gorilla Glue, and you can, like, MacGyver this shit to one of the most destructive fucking shape charges known to the Los Angeles Bomb Disposal Unit. I mean, that or possibly, like, create a new TikTok beauty hack inspired by, like, the Mr. Bill Claymation TV series. You know what I'm saying? Ah! Holy sheep shit. So what a way to go ahead and start and recap that thing. And, of course, so much more has happened in the news. Lately, it seems like Jeff Bezos just can't stay out of the fucking news, huh? In fact, the first thing Jeffrey had to say was, work-life balance is, quote, a debilitating phrase. And now he wants Amazon workers to view their career lives more as a circle. Okay, I mean,
what the fuck?
Shit, I was hoping mine'd be like a fucking hexagon or some like odd shape like that, some obtuse triangle or whatnot, but no, right? At an April 2018 event, Bezos said new Amazon employees shouldn't view their work and life as a balancing act. Instead, Bezos said it's more productive to view them as integrated parts. All this work-life harmony thing is what I try to teach young employees and actually senior executives at Amazon too, but especially the young people coming in. I get asked about work-life balance all the time, and my view is, that's a debilitating phrase, you know? I mean,
how dare you?
Because it implies there's a strict trade-off. It's actually a circle, not a balance, okay? You got that, guys? I'm just asking.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not gonna write this shit down.
So put that on your flashcard on your forehead. It's actually a circle. It's not a balance, okay, you fucking crybaby? So, the world's richest man has taken a non-traditional approach to work. He has said that he made time for breakfast every morning with his family, doesn't set his alarm before going to bed, schedules surprisingly few meetings, and sets aside a few minutes every day to wash his own dishes. I mean, circle, you say? I think you meant to say circle jerk before the mic came out, right? some more grabastic nonsense coming out of your fucking mouth there, Jeffrey. Bruh, you're getting like, you're like retiring from the work on your own terms after a long-term career, one of the richest men on the planet, only to hop on a rocket after a fucking light lunch of some beluga caviar, Pellinis, maybe some Bollinger champagne. Meanwhile, right, these people you're telling to go ahead and treat as a fucking circle, you know, those Amazon delivery drivers that are pissing in Gatorade bottles and shitting in McDonald's takeaway bags so that the AI watches them like hell while filming some gonzo porn for Pornhub, which doesn't arbitrarily fire them at the end of the shift, you know, that fucking AI that you got watching them. Come on, bro. Circle? Let's see what they would have to say. I'm kind of wondering something, right? I'm wondering if Jeffrey's going to go ahead and have Netradyne put those same AI-driven cameras into Blue Origin as it has in their fucking delivery vans, which allegedly identify, like, dangerous behavior. But, I mean, really do nothing more than, like, film gonzo-style reality TV for fucking Amazon Prime. I mean, can you imagine how an awesomely fucked-up episode of Black Mirror this could potentially make? Let's go ahead and think for a minute here, right? Imagine that we have Netradyne. They put in this, these cameras with this fucking AI in there for this fucked-up, weird, like, you know, Black Mirror-style Jeff Bezos goes into outer space moment. Imagine we put little Jeffrey on his Bugs Bunny-inspired rocket. We tuck him into his seat with his cute little Marvin the Martian plushie, like a big boy ready for his first plane trip. We could even go ahead and, you know, pack his very own Eludian Q-36 explosive modulator. Or maybe just one of those M-80 firecrackers that they had, like, zero success blowing up over in L.A. Just in case the moon obstructs his view of Venus. I mean, shit, look at what all that stuff did to the bomb disposal van in L.A., you know what I'm saying? We could fill up the rocket with, like, a bunch of empty plastic Gatorade bottles and some used McDonald's paper bags. We could put the Sierra Club logo, like, painted on the space, on, you know, it's a paid-for sponsorship, of course. We could have it canvas the inside of Jeffrey's room in business class in the capsule. It'll, like, virtue all the fucking great environmentalism without doing anything real, you know what I mean? Kind of like when the Malibu homeowners drive their Humvees while sucking down the Starbucks coffee in a paper cup right over to the Malibu residents-only private beach to participate in a trash cleanup, to pretend like they're donating their time to a public cause that's environmentally friendly. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
Of course, to help the, quote, green narrative and create our own Black Mirror version of Undercover Boss, after that difficult launch and experiencing microgravity for the first time, we could have little Jeffrey and his Blue Origin chauffeur drivers, they could piss in those Gatorade bottles and shit in the McDonald's bags, just like his delivery truck employees, all while having that, like, authentic conversation about the challenges they're facing, like running out of toilet paper in the country club bathroom, and the dreams they have while some somber, royalty-free music plays in the background, so he can have that, like, manufactured, made-for-reality TV moment connecting with his employees while they all pinch a loaf in the McDonald's bag. You know what I'm saying? It's just absolutely beautiful. We could go ahead and have Hal film the whole thing, and then we could, like, include the public in. We could put shock collars in, you know, on them, so that way if they're not doing what we want them to do, rather than going ahead and bitching at some, like, fucking moderator, we could go ahead and just bitch at Hal, and he'll just keep shocking them until they actually fucking do something that we want. And then it could be like an entire fucked up Naked and Afraid reality TV series. We could go ahead and force them to fabricate some clothes from, like, whatever's left over in the rocket. You know, the packaging, the trash. They could even do something straight out of Gilligan's Island. And the best thing is, it'll create some all new fucking TV programming for Amazon Prime. It'll make that membership actually worth something again. Because who wouldn't want to go ahead and watch little Jeffrey up over in his Blue Origin rocket, pinching a loaf inside of a McDonald's-like fucking bag, peeing in a bottle, getting shock-collared like a fucking dog over in the Greyhound races, all for our entertainment. I mean, it would be fucking fantastic, right? And the best part about it is, we're not even sure whether or not he'll actually make it home, because tens of thousands signed a petition to stop Jeff Bezos from returning to Earth. So even though he's going to be leaving the Earth on July 20th, it turns out that him and his brother Mark will board this New Shepard suborbital rocket system from like Blue Origins, right? And since Bezos made the announcement about this journey into space this month, tens of thousands of people have come together to petition against his return to the planet.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
There are multiple petitions out there, but the front runner, and let me just say that again, there are fucking multiple petitions to make sure that Jeff Bezos doesn't come back to Earth, but the front runner, the quote, do not allow Jeff Bezos to return to Earth on change.org, had at the time of this particular article collected more than 33,000 signatures. Billionaires should not exist, the description read, on Earth or in space, but they shouldn't decide the latter and they should stay there. So there's some very strong feelings about this. If you want to, inside the link, there'll be a link over inside the show notes where you can go and contribute your signature to this change.org petition to not allow Jeff Bezos to return to Earth. I'm just thinking to myself, you know, maybe we should caveat this, right? I mean, if Jeffrey went ahead and did something like Superman, right? Like he went ahead and like saved the Earth or whatnot. Maybe, just maybe, we'll go ahead and let him back. But otherwise, he can float up there with the rest of the space junk for a little while until we kind of get tired or maybe we get bored and we want Jeffrey back. And I mean, he could do important things like, for instance, altering the orbit of the moon to fight the climate change that Representative Louis Gohmert believes is the root cause of climate change here on Earth. So the Texas Representative Louis Gohmert asked an associate deputy chief of the Forest Service if her agency could alter the moon's orbit to address climate change. Uh-huh.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me say that again. Texas Representative Louis Gohmert, asked an associate deputy chief for the Forestry Service if her agency could alter the moon's orbit to address climate change. Can we just have a moment of silence while all the fucking brain cells just die off and scream in agony after reading that sentence? I'm just saying. Man. Holy shit. And then, of course, Mr. Gohmert says, I was informed by the immediate past director of NASA that they've found that the moon's orbit is changing slightly. And so is the Earth's orbit around the sun. Is there anything the National Forest Service or Bureau of Land Management can do to change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun?
I mean, what the fuck?
So she smiled politely and said, I'm going to have to follow up with you on that one, Mr. Gohmert. But Mr. Gohmert was dead serious. He responded with, well, if you figure out a way that you in the Forest Service can make that change, I'd like to know. I'm just thinking to myself,
I mean, what the fuck?
These are the people that we've sent over to the fucking, to the Congress to make some decisions about what we're fucking going to do with ourselves. And are we all going to die? I'm just kind of wondering. But, you know, I'm thinking the heroine of our story, the deputy chief of the Forest Service, she should have taken the opportunity on national television to present like a replica of the Infinity Gauntlet to Representative Gohmert as her solution. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're just like a snap away. He could go ahead and pretend like he's actually got superpowers. And better yet, she could dress up like Gandalf for the occasion so we can like almost have a reenactment of Gandalf giving the one ring to Frodo, but more of like a mad cosmic power grab kind of feel to it, which would be like more relatable to like clueless shitbag politicians. You know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you what, kids. There's a lot of action going on over in the troll box over here in the Trading View window, and I'm a little parched. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Hey, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show, and this kind of truncated, kind of odd, kind of unique Joculation. You're listening to Joculation. And here we are, kids, back over with Joculation. Let's try that again, shall we? Hey, kids, it's Joculation. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host on this Very truncated, very weird, very like, I don't know, in the studio sort of joculation thing, recording without an audience, but that's okay. The troll box over on TradingView is keeping us nice and warm as we watch the crypto markets melt down into oblivion. Dude, I have seen the suicide watch number pop up several times so far. We'll see how this goes tonight. Or maybe we won't. Who knows? Because we do go. Do we talk about cryptos over here?
How about new?
Not very much. We talk about it every once in a while, but it's not what drives the show. Current events like punk rock, satire, comedy. That's what our show's all about, right? I mean, that's the last time I checked. So be sure to get yourself ready, kids. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
The talk thinks this is popcorn time.
Because it always is over here. All right, kids. So in that first part of the show, we talked about some fantastic, like, you know, 4th of July experiences. We talked about Jeffrey Bezos getting ready to go ahead and shoot off into space. And we talked about how, like, there's petitions out there to go ahead and stop him from coming back. Well, just when you think that that's the only petition that's out there, there are people out there over in change.org that have a wonderful sense of humor. And not only that, they really understand Jeff Bezos in a way that he probably needs to go ahead and, like, talk to them, because it's like looking into a mirror, right? So the latest and greatest petition that's out there is not to go ahead and prevent Jeff Bezos from coming back into Earth. There's a petition out there to have Jeff Bezos go full Red Dragon and buy and eat the fucking Mona Lisa, and boom. Dude, that's got to be like the greatest freaking, you know, like, thing ever. But at any rate.
How dare you?
I digress. Let's hear about it. So Jeff Bezos' personal wealth surpassed $200 billion. Placing the Amazon CEO firmly ahead of Tesla CEO Elon Musk in their ongoing battle for title of the world's richest person. Boy, that's a vapid fucking title. At any rate, I digress. Over the years, the idea of selling the Mona Lisa to dig France out of debt has popped up occasionally, including French tech CEO Stéphane whatever the fuck that person's name is, who said last year that the government should sell it for about $50 billion to help the country through the pandemic. A petition urging billionaire Jeff Bezos to buy Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa and eat it has gotten hundreds of signatures. Which means we need to go over there and get more. Quote, nobody has eaten the Mona Lisa, and we feel like Jeff Bezos needs to, like, take a stand and make this happen. The petition went up a year ago on change.org. So Bezos seems to have no immediate plans to ingest the art. I mean, boo, right?
Everybody's mad right now.
I know, right? So at any rate, if you want to, we're going to put the link to the Jeff Bezos Buy and Eat the Mona Lisa petition over inside the show notes so you can go ahead and check it out. Give this freaking petition the support it needs, the support it deserves. You know what I'm saying? But let's just do some thinking here for a minute, because there's always some strange point of view that LP's got there. I'm just thinking, like, eating the Mona Lisa, it's like almost eating a Michelin five-star meal from places like the French Laundry. So the problem is, this oozes way too much class and doesn't really capture the true essence of, like, nouveau riche, unquenchable, gluttonous parasite, quite like the Jeffrey Bezos we've all come to know and love. So what I'm thinking, and you know, give me some space to work this a minute, I'm thinking we need artwork more synonymous with, like, fast food full of the lowest grade filler with, like, I don't know, a hint of meat flavoring and, like, near lethal doses of carcinogenic preservatives. You know, something like leftover and forgotten Hanson and NSYNC promo posters from the days when the boy bands were actually taken seriously as, like, real artists. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
I mean, that's the kind of, like, vapid, empty calorie merch we need Jeff Bezos to buy up with his billions. And, like, hammer down, like, a Nathan's hot dog eating challenge for, like, a petition that matters. You know what I'm saying? We could even have him wipe his face off once he's done with, like, one of the leftover McDonald's bags his, like, delivery drivers shit into while trying not to get fired by an AI at the end of their shift. Now, that right there, that.
No.
Yeah, that's a petition we could get behind. I'm just saying. But, of course, you know, you're still going to have those who will insist on him eating something priceless, historic, irreplaceable. So, as always, LP has a fantastic alternative. How about we have him buy and consume the shriveled remains of Napoleon's penis which has been passed around as a treasured artifact since his death.
What the fuck?
Dude, I think that would be the fucking best thing. And I know you're probably asking yourself, what the fuck are you talking about, LP? Well, turns out that Napoleon's penis has had a strange 200-year journey that we're going to go ahead and learn about right here, right now. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's fucking important, that's why. So the most famous organ extracted from his body after Napoleon's death in 1821 is his heart. What most people don't know is that the doctor carrying out Napoleon's autopsy also went ahead and cut off his dick. I was just like,
I mean, what the fuck?
He also cut off his dick. Once he died on the island in St. Helena, Francesco, and I can't even pronounce his last name, the doctor who separated the dong from its owner, gave it to Napoleon's chaplain. So let's just break this down for a second. The doctor is doing an autopsy, pulls out his heart and says, we need to save this. And you know what? Looks down at his dick and says, let me cut this off for posterity's sake, and I know exactly who to give it to. Let me give it to Napoleon's priest. I'm just like,
what the fuck?
What the fuck are you doing, dude? So at any rate, the penis now belonged to the chaplain, whose name, of course, history has forgotten because, you know, why would the chaplain want to go ahead and have their name associated with, like, Napoleon's dick? I mean, they've already got a problem with little kids. So, I mean, the last thing you need is to have, like, an emperor's dick associated with you. So the priest smuggled it back to Napoleon's native Corsica, and the priest was killed in a vendetta, and Napoleon's penis passed to his family as an heirloom.
What the fuck?
Let me say that again. Napoleon's penis passed to his family as an heirloom. Listen, all right, I have kids. I have things I want them to get. It's like, here's the watch that I would wear all the time. You know, here's my wedding band if you'd like it. Hey, I've got some money for you. Don't fucking cut my dick off and make it an heirloom. You know what I'm saying? All right?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
I mean, could you imagine that? It's like, what do you do every Christmas? You go, hey, I got a great thing we could do. Let's go ahead and pull out, like, the memory box. Hey, check it out. Here's that wonderful photograph of that fun place. How about we go ahead and pull out Dad's dick and, like, put it on the mantle over here while we go ahead and have a Christmas meal? That's a little fucking weird, but you know what? He'd probably like it. I mean, no. Fuck no, man. How many? Hey, let me ask you a question. Do we want to have that happen? I'm just thinking here.
How about no?
Fuck no, man. So at any rate, let's move on with the story. So the penis remained. The penis which shall not be named. The penis which shall not be named remained with the deceased priest's family until 1916. Then Mags Bros, a British bookselling company, then bought it for an undisclosed sum because that's what you do when you're a fucking bookstore. You go ahead and you buy Napoleon's penis. Why? I don't fucking know. At any rate, the firm attempted to sell the penis back to the French government, but they weren't interested, and I can't imagine why. They probably looked at that penis and went, what, it belongs to Napoleon? Well, you know.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
Now get that shit out of here. So, in 1924, they did find a buyer in S.W. Rosenbach, another antiquarian from Philadelphia. And I'm asking myself, bro, what is it with all the booksellers that now they're like, hey, I've got a great idea. Let me go get Napoleon's penis, and we'll just go ahead and buy that because we got nothing else. You know what I'm saying?
Dude,
get the fuck out of here, right? What do? You go to a bookstore and you're like, hey, you know, I was thinking about a few travel books, maybe some stuff to go ahead and cook with. And by the way, would you happen to have a copy of, like, or maybe the original shriveled member of Napoleon that's left over? I mean, I'm just curious.
Right? How about new?
Get the fuck out of here, dude. We're going to go ahead and put that on display. You should know better. Okay. So where was I? Oh, yes. So Rosenbach, though the penis was too important to keep just for him, or excuse me, Rosenbach thought the penis was too important just to keep for himself, because why would you? In 1927, it went up on display in the New York Museum of French Art.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, when I think of French art, the first thing that comes to mind is, hey, can I go ahead and see a, you know, the replica or the actual mummified dick of Napoleon Bonaparte. I mean, is that the first thing that comes to mind? It's like, hey, let's go to the Museum of Modern Art. You know, they've got a French exhibit over there, and it's like Napoleon's like fucking mummified penis. You want to go?
How about new?
No, man, get the fuck out of here with that shit. But apparently somebody thought it was great, and not only that, everybody and their fucking mother went. And since the penis had never been preserved in any way, this is the best part, people who saw it at the time said it looked like, quote, a maltreated strip of buckskin shoelace. Or a piece of leather or a shriveled eel. Oh, my God. And Napoleon's sitting over there saying, hey, listen, man, all right?
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
A fucking maltreated strip of buckskin shoelace? At any rate, so Rosenbach eventually got bored of owning it, and he sold the dick to a collector called Donald Hyde. Now, I'm going to go ahead and ask the question again. Who in the fuck describes himself as, yes, I'm an antique mummified dick collector? I mean, what in the fuck are you doing, dude? Do you not have a real day job? I'm just wondering. Maybe you got enough money that you don't have a real day job, but could you please collect some fucking fine art, not a bunch of penises that you plan on fucking putting up on display in some modern art French museum or whatever the fuck you want to call it, okay? So at any rate, once Donald Hyde died, probably molesting himself with, like, Napoleon's shriveled penis, his wife then donated the penis to yet another bookseller by the name of John F. Fleming, which, again, dude,
I mean, what the fuck?
Another fucking bookseller. What are you going to do with this, dick? I'm just saying. So Fleming then sold the penis to another unnamed collector. Couldn't imagine why they wouldn't want to be named. Hey, dick collector, could you come on over here a second? Holy shit. Who unsuccessfully tried to sell it at Christie's auction under the title of, quote, Napoleon's certain part.
I like money.
Apparently he does too. Finally, in 1977, a urologist, Professor John K. Latimer, purchased the penis for like $3,000, which is the equivalent of $12,000 in today's money. He apparently didn't want any attention, though he kept his penis hidden under his bed and refused to let anyone see it. That's just fucking weird. Isn't that the kind of shit you do with, like, sex toys that you think are going to go ahead and, like, out you as a perv? Which makes me wonder, was he molesting, like, himself with Napoleon's shriveled, mummified penis? I kind of wonder. Because, morbidly so at that. At any rate, so he went ahead and passed away, and his daughter Evan inherited Napoleon's dismembered dong. So Tony Parrott, I guess it was, the author of the book Napoleon's Privates, 2,500 Years of History Unzipped, has seen it. One of Latimer's daughters gifted him with the privilege of seeing the famed shaft. On NPR, he said, it was kind of an amazing thing to behold. There it was, Napoleon's penis, sitting on cotton wool, very beautifully laid out. It was very small, very shriveled, about an inch and a half long, and like a little baby's finger.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
I mean, when you think about it, right? In a sense, Napoleon's dick can be like the original celebrity salami. Or I guess maybe in this case, the original, like, celebrity Vienna sausage cocktail thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and we see how desperately we need Jeffrey Bezos to be the chosen one to eat Napoleon's dick, mummified dick. Because, I mean, right now, looking at Bitcoin, with John McAfee no longer able to eat his own dick, there's like this disturbance in the force with this unbalanced equation of a sincere promise to eat a dick of infamy and the failure to do so. That's why Bitcoin's crashing, right? It's a debt that needs to be paid. And someone as wealthy and as universally hated as Jeff Bezos can be the one to step forward and rebalance the equation to bring closure for the greater good of humanity. Jeffrey, much like the immortals in Highlander, there can be only one. And we will be absolutely certain that we'll commemorate the event with an unforgettable monument to remember this historic and unforgettable act. Okay, Jeffrey? In fact, a prankster who decided to go ahead and send a 7-foot steel penis statue to his friend's house on his birthday came up with the greatest idea to memorialize this very thing, Jeffrey. So the custom-made phallus was created by Latham Steel Doors, a steel fabricator over in Oldbury, West Midlands, England. It sounds old. It sounds stodgy. It sounds like a puckered asshole. It would be, like, perfect. You know what I'm saying? So apparently this order was, like, requested to be delivered in a way that ensured, quote, maximum visibility and embarrassment. See? This is already going down the right road. The prankster, of course, has not been named, but had some very specific instructions to the designers. And I know what you're asking yourself. You're probably like, ALP, what sort of specifications were there? Well, that's what I'm here for, right? I went the extra mile, went out there, got those specifications because we couldn't possibly do this without really understanding. So the specifications were as such. At least 7 feet tall and to be delivered outside the house surreptitiously to ensure maximum visibility and embarrassment. It must be self-standing and thick enough to make it difficult to get rid of. Welded to make it difficult to take apart. Engraved with a happy birthday message, wrapped with enough polystyrene balls so that when open, they'd have to clean up too. Galvanized so they could keep it in their garden if they wanted to. See this? This sounds like the perfect, perfect set of specs to create this monument, to create to sort of commemorate the event. It's a monument. It'll be long-lasting. It'll be durable. It'll be beautiful. Just this massive fucking penis to go ahead and capture the essence of the moment when our hero, Jeffrey, consumes Napoleon's shriveled, mummified dick that has been molested and used to molest several people, probably allegedly. So it'll be this warm, heartfelt, touching moment that'll just bring it all together. A dick will be consumed, since McAfee can't do it, and the Bitcoin market will come back to life. See how wonderful this works? Karma, kids. It's all karma. All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here, and then after that, we'll come back for a wrap-up, because, as I promised, this is a pretty quick show. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this strange evening here on Joculation. Wow, and just like that, kids, guess what? We're pretty much wrapping it up. Like I said, it was going to be a quick in and out, so I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and take care of it right now as we're watching the people over in the troll in the troll box here melt down as Bitcoin's freaking melting down. Hey, Jeff, quick! Buy Napoleon's penis and eat it. We've got to break this evil voodoo curse. Holy fucking shit. You know what I'm saying? Jeff, come
Did
on.
Did I make
now.
Myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
All right, so let's do the wrap-up here. So in this very short episode of Joculation, we started out by talking about the planned detonation of some seized illegal fireworks over in L.A., where 10 pounds of freaking fireworks blew a one-ton top off of a armored truck that's designed, allegedly, to go ahead and handle this stuff.
I mean, what the fuck?
It's a lightweight. And it smashed into a home two fucking blocks away because, wow, dude. Let's get real here. Then we talked a little about Jeffy Bezos, and he started out by saying something stupid like, work is not a life balance, because that's a debilitating phrase, you know? Yeah.
How dare you?
He wants Amazon workers to go ahead and view their lives as a fucking circle. Jerky, man. But, you know, we won't parse words here. So we talked about the fantastic little show that we might go ahead and have Jeffy Bezos get into with his AI stuff and all that. Then we talked about the people that there are tens of thousands that signed a petition to prevent Jeff Bezos from returning to Earth after he launches into space later this month, right? And then we talked about a politician who wants to alter the moon's orbit to fight climate change because he's a fucking retard. But outside of that, I mean, we went ahead and had a little break. And then we talked about the other petition urging Jeff Bezos to go full on Red Dragon and smash down a Mona Lisa in his pie hole. Go ahead, just buy it up, save France, and hopefully go ahead and devour some priceless art in the process. And then we discuss this strange, weird journey, the 200-year journey of Napoleon's severed penis. And from there, we talked about how we want Jeff Bezos to buy that penis and consume it. And we'll put together a fucking commemorative statue, 7 foot tall, all kinds of wonderful, beautiful stuff. We talked about the specs and everything. It wrapped in enough polystyrene balls so that when open, it'd be a terrible effort to clean up as well. It couldn't. We could not end a show on a better note. You know what I'm saying? So, kids, thanks for going ahead and checking out this episode, those of you that do. It's a shorter episode, but you know what? We'll be back to our regular operating hours this Friday night. So be sure to check out Joculation at that time. You can see all the details inside the show notes and everything. So, kids, as William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret on the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust, thanking everybody that's taken the time to come by and support the show. Appreciate it. I'll be catching you next time. See you later, kids. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.